Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 6th of August 2021. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the, how do you say this, Gymnastradamus?
Yes.
There we go. God, at least I got it right.
Jesus Christ. Gymnastradamus.
I've been practicing that all morning. Anyway, so that's the gym bro who predicted everything. Also, Tucker Carlson's Hungarian adventure, which is going very well, and very many people are mad. Many such cases. Also, OnlyFans models can't find love.
And why not? We'll talk about that later.
Who could have predicted this? Anyway, first thing I wanted to mention was the new article we have on lotuseaters.com that Hannah Gell has written. There was an interview with Dave Rubin about Israel and anti-Semitism. This is free, so go and give that a check out. I love Hannah's stuff, and she's got another one coming on the history of anti-Semitism. She wanted to do a segment on it, so fair enough. So go and give that a read. But also we have the book club. So the next link here should be the book club, Road to Wigampia. Just take a minute, don't worry. But anyway, the book club was The Road to Wigampia, George Orwell, that... Yes. Josh and Bo did, not you.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it, though.
Yeah. But also, I wanted to mention, I should have brought the book, but we're going to do, on Monday, we're going to do a recording for the Long March, How the Left Won the Culture War, and go into that, which, so if you are reading that, you get it done by Monday, and then we'll have it up sometime after that, presumably quite sharp. Mm-hmm. So please enjoy. And also, on Thursday, we'll be recording Roger Scruton. Where Are We Now? The State
Scruton's
of Britain.
One of his last books, Where We Are, The State of Britain Now. It's a really, really useful book to understand like how the Conservatives should view the world, basically, and what can and should be done by the Conservatives. And I just thought it was a really useful thing to go over, so we will.
Yeah, and then the week after, we're going to be recording the Mao's Great Famine. These are all basically lined up. We just need the recording time now to do them. I'm going to ask because I just can't find it, just in case someone else, maybe I'm going mad. There's a story in there, which I'm pretty sure we found, and Bo seems to think so too, in which late into the famine, there's some conference, and Mao just decides to blame it all on far-left elements of the party, and then calls himself a rightist if these people are in charge.
Based Mao.
And did I dream that? Did me and Bo dream that up? If anyone's read it and you know it's in there, please tell me where it is, because it's the last story I want to add, but I just can't find it. But either way, it'll be a good
book club. I've read it a couple of times now, and I don't recall Mao saying that, so...
I just recall reading it and turning around to you and being like, is this guy serious? Whatever. Anyway, cool for evidence there. But let's start with Gymnastradamus.
Yes, so Gymnastradamus was right and time has borne out. So you may have seen the viral clip of some unnamed gym bro who just in September 2020 just laid out what would happen with the vaccines and the pandemic and all of this stuff and how it seemed to be an obvious attempt at increasing state control and the reduction of people's financial status into a form of neo-serfdom. And, well, time has kind of borne this out. Let's play the clip.
So if they tell you you have to wear a mask, next they're going to tell you you have to contact trace. Then they're going to tell you you have to take the vaccine. And because Canadians like to do what they're told, they're hoping that everyone just complies. And then guess what, kids? Once you take your vaccine, like a dumb person that doesn't know any better, they're going to tell you, sorry, the vaccine isn't as effective as we thought it was going to be. So now you still got to wear your mask, still got to get contact trace, still have all the restrictions and social distancing, and still take your vaccine. And then what did you get out of all of this? You got a whole year where you weren't allowed to travel, your business was closed, they took your rights and freedoms, they forced the vaccine on you, and what happened? The same amount of people died, everything is the exact same, and now they're gonna put you back on lockdown and bring it all the way till July of next year so they can do the same thing again. Bring you from July, August, and September, getting you off lockdown, but just to bring you back on lockdown again. If you idiots haven't figured it out yet, it's a perpetual cycle that you never get out of. And it's a way to take your rights, your freedoms, close your business, take your wealth. Why? So you become dependent on government. Why? If you're independent, the government works for you like it's supposed to. If you depend on the government to give you a paycheck to feed your family every month because they closed your business on you, now the government doesn't work for you. The government rules you. So instead of a middle class, we have the government, upper class, and the lower class dependents that rely on the government to survive. In other words, we have a slave class. And that's what they're trying to do. It's that simple.
Pretty based, really, isn't it? Because, frankly, most of that seems to have happened. So let's just go through some of the points and see if we can substantiate anything you said. So you may recall that... this was something that was being pushed back last year. You know, everyone should wear a mask. And, of course, this led to them saying, well, we should have had mask mandates. If we get to the next one, they would have saved thousands of lives. And so the general sort of view of the intellectual classes that everyone must wear a mask. This was literally on the same day that he said that. By October, they were like, oh, masks are shown to reduce the spread, which I'm sure they do. And on the 7th of October, Italy had a nationwide mask mandate. Come the end of October, the Wall Street Journal was demanding that America had a national mask mandate. And March 2021, Biden was still saying the same thing. National mask mandate. And of course, we've been wearing masks everywhere, obviously. We've had to until very recently.
Inside stores and restaurants and
just stuff. Everywhere.
The stupidest thing is like when the table's just there and they're like, yeah, please put on your mask to walk 3 steps to sit down.
Yeah. And then you can take your mask off. So, right. This isn't about whether I've spread any coronavirus, is it? That's the point. But he was right about the contact tracing, of course. In Britain, we had a contact tracing app that was unsuccessfully launched at the beginning of May last year. Didn't work. We can get to the next one. So that failed. But by September 2020, after that guy, we had the new contact tracing app that apparently worked. I never got it, and I don't see why anyone would have done. But anyway, moving on. It turned out that by October, we found out that data was being sold on. Can you believe it?
What a shock.
Can you believe it? Legal experts have warned of a privacy crisis caused by a rise in companies exploiting QR barcodes to take names, addresses, telephone numbers, and email details, and then passing them on to marketers, credit companies, and insurance brokers.
What a shock. Who could have seen this coming?
Yeah, reputable journal The Lancet was demanding better contact tracing because apparently we weren't contact tracing nearly enough. And by the 22nd of October, it turned out the contact tracing wasn't even working. Didn't even do anything. Experts say the figures show the £12 billion system was struggling to make any difference in the epidemic. But at least a bunch of companies got to make loads of money out of your personal data. Hmm. You didn't make anything out of that.
But they also stole your money in the form of tax revenue to pay for all this.
Oh, of course. Obviously this is all paid for out of public money, which means by you. By the 26th of October, France had their own contact tracing app, which I'm sure loads of people used. But apparently in this contact tracing, generally many places failed. Most countries didn't get it right, didn't work. Some did, though. Brilliant. Britain was not one of those countries. We are currently in the grip of a pingdemic because, as we covered a couple of weeks ago, the contact tracing app decided everyone was pinging now and everyone was, you know, even people who are like near each other but through a wall were considered to be in contact. And so the contact tracing apps, while people are for some reason still using them, are ruining the supply chains of this country. Brilliant. Anyway, moving on to the vaccines. So if you go back to, say, April 2020, you had Fauci and others like him saying, well, you know, they're expecting to have a vaccine in 18 months. That's risky. It's like, that's weird. That's a very weird anti-vax position that Fauci and others had taken. And on the 9th of September 2020, Biden was like, yeah, well, I'm a full anti-vaxxer as well. It's going to be a Trump vaccine.
Oh, they were doubting it was going to be done. And then also they were saying, well, if Trump makes it, I don't trust
him. Well, incidentally, that's exactly what Kamala Harris said the month afterwards. Almost to the day, Kamala Harris was like, I won't take the vaccine because it's Trump's.
What a pathetic reason not to trust
it. Yep. You know, I mean, at least the first reason is like, look, getting a vaccine out in 18 months is risky because these things normally take a decade.
Like, so that's one reason.
That's a good reason.
Second reason of being Orange Man Bad is...
Yeah, exactly. Orange Man Bad. Oh, Trump's going to try and kill us all with vaccines or something, but who knows. But anyway...
She didn't get banned for this opinion either.
No, of course not. No one on the left gets banned for their opinions, really. In January, the vaccine started rolling out across the world. There were three, the Pfizer, Moderna, and a few others. And then by now, hundreds of millions of people have been vaccinated. If we can scroll down just so we can see the graphs, you can see, there we go, you can see where the vaccines are being used. Mostly the Western...
countries that paid for them.
That's right, yeah, the countries that paid for them. Mostly have been vaccinated. But
personal gripe with Vox here being like, well, all the poor countries haven't been vaccinated. It's like, yeah, because they didn't pay to produce the vaccine, did they?
That's true.
Get what you pay for.
But the question, the point raised by Jim Stradamus was, are the vaccines going to then be called less effective and so you'll have to carry on doing all of those other things? Yes, that did happen. The first one we've got here is from January, where it turned out the vaccine was less effective than expected. Oh dear, exactly as Jim Stradamus predicted. And of course, we can go to the next one in July. The Israeli data suggests that there's a waning effectiveness of the Pfizer vaccine. So Israel are giving you your third dose. Everyone's getting third dose. Oh, no, it's not everyone. It's 60 years old and over is getting the third dose. We'll go to the next one in Israel. There we go. There's CNN confirming that. So they're going to I imagine these are going to be like yearly vaccine doses at some point, just because there's a lot of money to be made in vaccines.
Well, I mean, for the extremely elderly, you could make an argument. Why they get the yearly flu vaccine, you know, because you're extremely old, high chance, therefore it might be worth it.
And if I were a Pfizer executive, that's exactly the argument I would make while getting fat stacks of cash.
Well, no, the question I think has to come as to where do they draw the line? Do they continue to say that, no, 12-year-olds need to get it? Because for the elderly, obvious argument, high chance of death. 12-year-olds, not high chance of death. Not even registrable chance of death.
And yeah, they're still pushing for children and children to be masked as well instantly. But anyway, other major nations, we'll get to the next one, are going to be giving everyone vaccine boosters. So we're going to be paying for these vaccines forever, I imagine. Again, if I worked at Pfizer or AstraZeneca or Moderna, I'd probably be thrilled by this because that means lots of money.
What's the stock doing?
And Jim Stradama said, they don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, you've got vaccinated, you're masked, and you're still going to have to social distance. And the CDC and World Health Organization have indeed said you should wear masks indoors even if you're fully vaccinated. Why are we doing any of this then?
So Jim Burrow was right.
Yes. Yes. This is why it's Jim Stradamus, not just Jim Bro. He's been upgraded. Oh. He's a legitimate prophet now.
Jim Stradamus.
Yes. Oh. And of course, they're going to force the vaccines on you. We already know this. You can see arguments being made why COVID-19 vaccines should be required for all Americans. And we had recently Bill de Blasio saying the voluntary phase is over, as we covered yesterday. So the voluntary phase does appear to be over, especially if you work for the military, which is going to be, the US military is going to be ordering vaccines. We had the same thing happen in Britain, didn't we? We had a naval convoy or something. Everyone on it was vaccinated and a bunch of them tested positive for COVID. Never mind. Employers are going to make the vaccines mandatory as well, and they can. Experts say, apparently, so legally they can force you to take these vaccines. And so the question is, are we going to go back into lockdown now? This is where Jim Stradamus was slightly inaccurate, but perhaps we should say ahead of the curve. So here's a list of US states that locked down, if we can get to the next one. Almost all of them.
So some element of lockdown here in each one, I assume?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it obviously depends, it varies. You know, like California and New York had much more strict lockdowns, and for longer than Texas or Florida, but there were, you know, there were lockdowns everywhere. But yeah, so in the United States, Biden has actually said that he doesn't think there will be another lockdown. He can't mandate them anyway, so, you know, don't know how he plans to do that.
This is why there was a lot of weirdness in trying to blame Trump for the virus. It was like, well, I don't have any powers.
Yeah.
Like, it's off the governors.
That was exactly. You know, like Trump was like, don't lock down. And also, I can't make them lock down or not. You know, it's not my choice. So even despite the new Delta variant going around, Biden has apparently said there won't be more lockdowns. But we had obviously multiple lockdowns in Britain and in other places. We had the third lockdown over Christmas. For some reason, the BBC, if we can go to the next one, didn't consider that to be the third lockdown. I don't know why. We had one at the beginning of 2020, one like halfway through 2020, and then one over Christmas 2020. So he was right about repeated lockdowns, just not in the United States. And like I said, for some reason, the BBC didn't consider that to be the third one. And so on July the 19th, Freedom Day, which is where most of the restrictions were lifted, we were being told, oh, there's going to be 100,000 or 10,000 extra deaths or a day or whatever it is. Didn't happen, obviously. And this means that they've been predicting more lockdowns for us. Well, since we've already had three, who knows? France as well has had a third lockdown as well. This happened in April this year. So it's not like he was wrong about repeated lockdowns. Seems that most of the world has had repeated lockdowns. And so he was like, well, you know, the deaths are basically the same. Ooh, that's a strong claim. Let's have a look. Well, this is the death rate in the United States. If we can get the picture up that I put in the Discord just because it was an easier way of representing it, because this is up to the current day. Not tremendously different. As you can see, that's deaths per 1,000 people. And so going back to, say, 1950, it was like 9.5. And then the lowest it is 8, or just above 8. And at the moment, it's just about 9. So, I mean, it's been pretty consistent that whole time. And that's the 2021. Just saying, where are the excess deaths?
I don't know if you were going to mention it or not, but also Israel. Their lockdown they're about to go into or have been in now. I don't know what the status is because I don't keep up with the Israeli news that often.
Yeah.
But what is it, like 99% or 90% of the population of Israel vaccinated?
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, lockdown.
Yeah. Don't know why. In the UK, we can see the mortality rate in the UK over time. which, as you can see, from 2015 to 2020 was a very, very small increase per 100,000 in the population. A very small increase. Not a significant increase, I would say. Puts the UK back at the mortality rate of below that of 2005. If you were presented this graph just in isolation, would you know that there was a pandemic? And so we got an email from an anonymous subscriber who had sent us, we actually have their details, but we're going to keep their
redacted.
But they sent a Freedom of Information request to the National Health Service, asking them, I'm doing some research. Under the Freedom of Information Act, I'd like to supply me with the following information. How many people have died in your hospitals from COVID-19 alone, as in they died due to COVID-19 and not from some other comorbidity? And so they replied with a lot of information. And the answer here, they say, there have been 3,656 people who have died in hospitals in England where a positive test was received within 28 days of their death, and they did not have a pre-existing condition recorded, up until and including 21st of July 2021. Just saying, Jim Stradamus made a few good points. Moving on. Wealth transfer. Are they going to take all your wealth? Are they going to create the billionaire class that, I don't know, may fly into space or something, while the rest of us are slaving away on the earth?
Bernie Sanders doing?
Yeah, exactly. How is Bernie doing? Well, the answer is, of course, yes. Billionaires have gained literally trillions of dollars. And this has been widely reported. I mean, like The Guardian. I don't know why I use the Mother Jones link here, but the next one, if we can go to that. The number is staggering. Yes, it is. And the question is, how has this affected the small business owner? Well, not well. Not well at all. And this was from September 2020, that nearly 100,000 businesses in America had shut down due to the lockdowns, and they're not reopening. And the next one is a CNBC one that suggests that 60% of the business closures due to the pandemic, meaning the lockdowns, the government action, are now permanent. So 60% of small business has been closed. Trillions of dollars has been shifted to the most wealthy people in the world. And to make sure that the peasants aren't in revolt, the government has been printing money like never before. Apparently, Americans got $3,500 to just sit at home and do nothing, because that's sensible. So I just want to say, it seems that Jim Stradamus was absolutely right about almost everything, in fact. Like, almost perfectly correct as well. So he's like, wear a mask, contact trace, take the vaccine, be told it wasn't working, wear a mask, social distance, contact trace, and the vaccine, have it forced on you, back in the lockdowns, same amount of deaths, perpetual cycle you never get out of, to take your rights, your freedoms, you close your business, take your wealth, and become dependent on the government. I still can't travel because I haven't been vaccinated, and I'm not going to allow them to do it to me. So yeah, it seems that we've lost our rights, we've lost our freedoms, we're losing our money, and it seems that this may well have, whether it was intentional or not, produced the exact cycle that Jim Bro was prophesying.
I'm depressed.
Yeah.
That wasn't good.
No, it's not a white pill, I'm afraid, but I just wanted to show that this guy was right, because he knew what was going to happen, apparently. Yeah. Don't know how these prophets know the future, but there we go. I guess I haven't spent enough time in the gym.
I wonder what he's up to these days.
presumably telling the future about something else terrible is going to happen.
Oh, God.
But no, he was absolutely right.
Well, I guess we should move on to something a little more white-pilling then. So Tucker Carlson has been in Hungary having a nice little Hungarian adventure, and it's actually quite nice, so I thought we'd go through it. So first thing here is to talk about Hungary itself. So Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban, their party, the country nationally in the way they do things, has been touted up by the right wing of the Western world, let's say, mm-hmm. who look to them with envy of their border policy and so on and so forth. So you can see here just a clip of, to explain that sort of thing, Donald Trump with Prime Minister Viktor Orban. You're respected all over Europe, probably like me, a little bit controversial, but that's okay. You've done a good job and you've kept your country safe.
Well, I mean, at least the final say, he kept his country safe. Yeah, he did.
From mass migration, that's the implication here, in the same way that Trump was the man who built the wall.
But also the predatory nature of the sort of internationalists who want to, you know, put the SJW ideology in his country and things like that, you know.
But also national parliaments are not important, only international rules.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah. And so I don't really know much about Hungary. I don't speak Hungarian. So I'm not one of these people who's wanting to jump on to be like Viktor Orbán, great or not great. I don't know. But I decided to go to Amnesty International's website to talk about this, because Amnesty International, scumbags, I'm just going to say front up, because of their stance on Count Dankula. They told Count Dankula that he wasn't being infringed on his free speech rights for being prosecuted for a joke, because he was causing harm, presumably, to the pug. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a racist against pugs, yeah.
I hate them for that, and I'm never going to forgive them for it. But okay, we'll take their opinion on this, because I imagine it's not going to be glowing of Orbán's government. So what do they say about him? In March, Parliament adopted the Bill on Protection Against COVID-19 Pandemic. It extended the government's power to rule by decree by absolving it from parliamentary scrutiny.
Yeah, okay. Oh, like over here?
Yep. Without providing a clear cutoff date.
Just like here.
While the bill was replaced in mid-June, the government continued to uphold a set of transitional powers allowing the restrictions of human rights, such as the right to freedom of peaceful assembly and curtailing access to asylum. Just like every country on Earth. Yeah. So, sorry, that's not too scathing. The Americans survived that better than we did with the just massive grab of power by the executive away from the legislature. In September, the European Commission published the first rule of law report, noting serious concerns regarding Hungary. They don't list them, so I don't know what to say. In May, Parliament prohibited the legal gender recognition of transgender and intersex people, requiring the registry of sex by birth based on biological markers and chromosomes, which cannot be changed at a later stage.
So they've got a common sense approach to sex and gender.
Right, that's a bridge of human rights. Right. This means transgender people can no longer change their sex, not gender, sex, on official documents and certificates to reflect their gender identity.
But gender identity isn't listed on official documents.
No, sex is.
Yes.
If you get a passport, you have
sex. That's immutable.
Which also why they can't change their sex on gender. They can't change their sex on official documents to reflect their gender identity.
No one can.
I don't know who proofread this, but Jesus Christ.
How's that oppressing trans people? No one can do that.
Yeah, so not really sounding too different or actually wrong in this particular case. But then there's the one that made me wonder. So in July, the editorial team and nearly 100 staff journalists resigned from Index, the country's largest independent online news portal, in response to the dismissal of its editor-in-chief. The editors had publicly announced that their independence was in danger following the takeover of the portal's advertising branch by a media executive with close ties to the government.
Right, but that's not... The government didn't force them to resign, right?
That's not how that written.
I imagine they would have said, if it was Viktor Orban's government has suppressed journalists and, you know, abolished their jobs or something like that, they'd just say it. They wouldn't cover for him.
I don't know why Amnesty International would cover for them. It doesn't make any sense, but whatever. I mean, whatever their problems are, this isn't Cuba or China, for Christ's sake.
But how did Orban do that? That's the question.
Hmm. Anyway, so... Also, there's a claim that from people who don't like Tucker Carlson visiting Hungary, that he's a dictator. I decided to just look up the elections.
Right,
in
before
Hungary.
We go on, I've looked this up as well, and I actually hate this. Yeah, I absolutely hate this guy. I just want to vent my spleen. I hate this claim because it's so lazy, right? Like, there are genuine people around who are actual dictators, and zero of them have been elected to positions of power. Zero of them spend any time in opposition. Carry on.
When was the last time the Workers' Party of Korea was in opposition?
Exactly. The fact that there are multiple parties that can gain the government in Hungary shows that it's not a dictatorship. But anyway, sorry, carry on.
But otherwise, it would be the elections. So the first time Viktor Orban came to government was in 1998, and he formed a coalition, which is not usually what dictators do. And then in 2002, the next one here, he lost, and the opposition made a coalition. Yeah, Socialist Party.
Just to be very clear, dictators don't lose elections.
To socialist coalitions?
To anyone. To anyone. Dictators don't lose elections. If they have elections, 99% of people somehow vote for them, weirdly enough. If there's somehow enough people to vote for the other party, again, what other party in a dictatorship, and the guy can spend time out of government, out of ruling the country, then he's not a dictator. Don't know how to describe it any other way.
So the Socialist Party were in power for 8 years and then got kicked out because of corruption and the financial crisis.
Sensible.
And so in the next election, Orban's party won back in. They won a majority. And then they've won a majority in the other elections since. And there'll be an election next year to determine who's going to be in charge. This doesn't look like a dictatorship to me. I'm sorry. I don't know why people are whining.
Why.
Yeah.
But so. they always use the term autocrat, and it's just like, look, listen, he's just not an autocrat. Like, there are lots of people who are or were autocrats, but he's not one of them. You know, you can say you don't like him all you want, and don't get me wrong, there are, you know, if I don't like the socialist, you know, politician they elected because he's a socialist, but I'm not going to call him an autocrat.
I'm going to call him a dictator.
No, because he's not.
He's not in power.
Exactly. It's just so dishonest. Ugh.
But anyway, I thought I'd also just go to Vox because, I mean, this was pretty lackluster and just see why Hungary bad. And in here they say, Orban and his allies gerrymandered parliamentary districts and packed the constitutional court.
But just like the Democrats want to.
Biden's like, don't look at me. They seize control over the National Elections Agency, the civil service, and over 90% of all media in Hungary. What was the media coverage of Trump? What was the percentage that was negative?
Well, 90% negative. Plus.
Civil service, bastion of right-wingers.
95% remain.
Yeah. They used economic regulation to enrich themselves and punish their opponents. Everyone in the West is doing this right now. I'm sorry to say, the Conservatives are also guilty of it in this country. Yeah. Persecuting a major university, for example, until it was forced to leave the country altogether. Which university?
Oh, was this the Soros University?
Yeah, it was. They don't mention that, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Interestingly.
George Soros probably shouldn't be operating universities in your country because he's clearly someone who's trying to undermine the integrity of your state.
Yeah. So they also say that Orban won re-election in 2015.
Like every dictator.
And 2018.
Typical dictators.
In votes that were formerly free.
But, which is how you ended up with a socialist government in the interregnum between.
But so it was formerly free, but in no sense fair. Right. His party benefited from massive resources advantages, backing from government-aligned media.
Oh, wow. Joe Biden's just like, Christ, shut up!
And rules designed to tilt the playing field.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, that's bad when Hungary does it.
Who changed the rules running up to the election in the United States?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Late ballots.
Like, the
voting
the
ballots.
Arbitrary, the arbitrariness, the mail-in, the expansion of the mail-in voting and the after the period when they're supposed to have been taken in.
The structural changes that Hungary's government has engaged in and no one else. Right. In the piece about the university, that's George Soros as well, the author says that they exerted pressure to make sure that leftists couldn't thrive. In the, quote, development of a quietly... So, to get rid of the leftists, they had gone a development of a quietly repressive system that I've termed soft fascism.
Well, I mean, we could literally say that. That could be said by the Islamists, by the Nazis, by all of these, like, radical groups.
We don't even have to do that, because, I mean, he's saying just to be a leftist in Hungary is to exist under soft fascism because you're pressured out of society. Should we call it Mr. Trump or tweet at him? I suppose not.
What about the other MAGA people who have been fleeing from social media platform to social media platform because, I don't know, the powers that be have been exerting kind of soft fascism over, I don't know, say, Parler and various others, Gab, you know, anyone else?
This hatred is... disproportional, let's say. I looked at the worst examples, the people who wouldn't like him, and I'm sorry, it's just not enough for me to be like, yeah, this is obviously a terrible move for Tucker. So what has Tucker been up to? So let's go to the next link here. Well, he's been he's taking a look at the borders, because I mean, that's what you would do.
He took a holiday to Hungary and is broadcasting from Hungary at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, it's really weird. So let's play the first clip of him giving the geopolitical setup of Europe and why he's gone there.
Huge waves of human migration really are the biggest story of the age we're living in, and they will certainly define the future. They've accelerated for a couple of reasons. One, it's very easy to travel from one end of the globe to another, easier than it's ever been in human history, and cheaper. But for another, a lot of the world is getting less stable, and in part, that's the fault of the West. Ideologues in this country, some of whom now work at the Biden State Department, decided to overthrow the government of Iraq. That caused a domino effect of instability throughout the region and massive waves of human migration. Hillary Clinton decided that for some reason we had to kill the leader of Libya. That started a civil war in that country and again, more migration. And then for the last 15 years, again, ideologues in Washington have pushed more war in Syria. So all of that had effects. One of those effects back in 2015 was the movement of more than a million people from the Middle East and North Africa, and in some cases sub-Saharan Africa, into Europe. Now, Europe is controlled by the EU, which is effectively controlled by Germany. No one says it out loud, really, it's the German Empire. And at the time, it was run by the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, and she decided to keep the doors open. She said that accepting more than a million migrants in her country was not a big deal at all. Quote, Germany is a strong country. we will manage. Well, of course, she was completely wrong. That decision changed the nature of Germany forever, caused a massive crime spike. Yes, that's true and proven. And in general, disrupted the entire region. It's not clear who exactly benefited from that, even the migrants themselves.
Yeah, perfect. On
he
point.
Built a wall.
Yeah, absolutely. Every point completely correct.
Yeah. Wir schaffen das.
Yeah.
The little Merkel thing. She's like, oh, we'll just manage.
And then when it became unmanageable, she was like, well, other European countries need to do their part and take some of our migrants. Like, do we?
Do we, bucko?
Yeah.
Sounds like they're not our migrants. Yeah. They're your migrants, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like it's your problem. Also, we're leaving the EU.
Yeah. The only country that did accept migrants, for foreigners who might not know, was Portugal. Because they got paid per one they took. And as soon as they arrived in Lisbon, the Lisbon government was just like, we're not giving you any benefits. Bugger off back to Germany. And they did. They just left.
So Portugal.
The Portuguese just ran a racket throughout the EU. Just be like, yeah, send more migrants. We'll send them back.
That's right. You take that German money and you don't apologize for it. But I mean, they were threatening.
The oldest ally.
Yeah. Well, no, it is. Oldest alliance in the world. That's why, big up to Portugal. But like the Polish refused to take any. And they were threatening them with legal action, weren't they?
Mm.
And various other kinds of, you know, pressure.
So
soft fascism, we could call it.
So Orban's government decided that they just would go, nah, bugger off. They weren't really trying to come to Hungary, I'll be honest. They're trying to go to Germany because wir schaffen das.
Because the Hungarians weren't going to give them free money. That's
yeah,
why.
But so what did they do? And this is why Tucker went. Let's play.
He built a wall, and today we went to see it. We took a military helicopter down to the southern border of Hungary, right where it borders Serbia. And we looked at this Hungarian wall that has effectively ended illegal migration into the country. And we found a couple of things. For one, it's not actually a wall. It's a chain link fence. It's very simple. And if you sat for the last 5 years and listened to American experts debate how it's impossible to stop immigration with the wall, no matter how high tech, you learned that that's a complete lie. All you need is the will to do it. Chaos creates humanitarian disasters. That's true everywhere around the world, and it's true particularly on borders, and particularly on our southern border, where there are people suffering and dying because the Biden administration has abetted, in fact, welcomed chaos. But we didn't see that today. We saw order and clarity. You are not allowed to come to Hungary illegally. While we were on the border today, the Serbian border in Hungary, we saw two people who attempted to come illegally. Both of them turned out to be from Syria. And we watched what happened when they were apprehended. It was a very straightforward process, so straightforward that it was a little confusing to watch. They came over the border. They were immediately picked up by Border Patrol. They were brought to a detainment area. They were treated politely. We were there the whole time. They were photographed. They were searched for weapons on the outside of their clothing. And then they were escorted through a door, and we followed them. We thought they're going to further processing or to meet with their attorneys or some Soros-funded NGO, and then moved into some other part of Hungary to stay there forever, at least a few years. But that's not what it was. That door was the border. And as we followed them through, they were escorted back where they came from, into Serbia, and they can apply for asylum somewhere else.
That's great.
Beautiful. I mean, that's how borders should work.
Yes.
I can't get any more clear that that's what should be done. Priti Patel, Mr. Biden,
yeah.
You know, United States, everywhere around the world, that is the solution. And I don't know why it's not obvious. That is so simple. Just bye-bye. Yeah. Go back now.
You're not our problem.
Mm.
Go away.
You clearly came from Serbia. Serbia's not a war.
Yeah.
Go back.
For once in its existence, Serbia's not a war.
Yeah. But one of the things I found interesting was the response from the government when Tucker asked them. So let's play this where he says, they just say, we're a serious country.
That straightforward immigration policy, no, you're not allowed to come here illegally, I'm sorry, this is a real country, we have laws, works. And it doesn't require a GDP the size of the United States' GDP. It doesn't require high-tech walls or guns or surveillance equipment. All it requires is the will to do it. And as we watched this happen, we said to a Hungarian minister who was standing there, it's hard to believe that's your policy. When you come here illegally, you're just escorted out politely. And he said, quote, we're a serious country. How embarrassing to be an American in a conversation like that, to realize the greatest country on earth is not on some level a serious country because it allows the chaos that inevitably occurs, the human suffering that inevitably occurs when you open your borders.
Well,
perfectly right. Like, the Hungarians have got us. It's an embarrassing, not as only an American, but as a Westerner in general.
Brits, definitely.
Yeah.
And look what's happening. I mean, I don't know why the government just doesn't just dump the people back on France. It's like, you, like exactly the Hungarian border policy. Just like, no, no, goodbye.
To be honest, if the French won't pay ball, it's just like, well, what are you going to do? Declare war on us? You're not going to do that.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because the French are obviously sending them as well.
Mm.
They're not getting all these boats and life vests and all this from Amazon or
like,
something.
I'm getting very close to just thinking, you know what, just start a little bit of a conflict there with them and just see what they do. What are they going to do in response, really? They're not going to really escalate it to anything serious.
What, over the migrants? I can't imagine they would.
No, they'll get all pissy about it and then they'll give up. Anyway, yeah. But I just wanted to mention, of course...
Literally the history of French warfare. Getting all pissy about it then giving up.
So
just teasing French.
Just wanted to mention the Twitter obviously decided that speech was sensitive content.
Of course it is. I mean, I suppose if your default state of affairs is literally hundreds of thousands of people can come here and we will do nothing at all about it, we'll just release them into the country, then I suppose that would be horrifically sensitive for you to hear.
So Tucker went on to do an interview with Viktor Orban, if we can get the next one up. There's also the full version in the next link, just in case anyone wants to watch it. I watched a fair segment of it. He's a very interesting guy. Again, I don't speak Hungarian. I don't think about Hungary, you know, his government, all the rest of it. But there was some really good bits, and I'm going to play the best bit I found. Let's play.
Many European countries decided to open a new chapter of their own history of the nation. They call it a new society, which is a post-Christian, post-national societies. They believe firmly that if different communities, even huge number of, let's say, Muslim communities and the original inhabitant, let's say, Christian communities are mixed up, the outcome of this will be good. There is no answer whether it will be good or bad, but I think it's very risky. And the chance that it will be not good, but it will be very bad, is obvious. And each nation has the right to take this risk or to reject this risk. We Hungarians decided not to take that risk, to mix up our society. That's the reason why they attack Hungary so harshly, and that's the reason why my personal reputation is very bad. You know, I'm treated like the black sheep of the European Union personally, and sometimes Hungary as well, unfortunately.
What have the effects been in Germany?
You know, diplomacy is
requires
some well behavior, but it was their decision. They took the risk, and now they got what they have deserved. That's their life. I would not like to make any categories to describe what was the outcome of their decision. I only insist on that the Hungarians has the right to make our own choice.
I love that. Well, they made their bed. That's their problem, not mine.
But I mean, he's not wrong about that at all. I mean, grooming gangs.
Yep.
Grooming gangs.
But even just the most recent examples of the terrorists who came with the people, the huge spike in crime that he mentioned, all the fraud that's going on there, it's a huge mess.
I mean, I remember covering the stuff in 2016, 2017 in Germany, and the number of stories I read that were just random rapes and robberies and murders that just happened because a migrant turned up and decided he was going to do something terrible to a person who was just living their life.
I mean, I think it was the XY... Eingesalem map or whatever it was called in German, which is just a map of migrant crime in Germany, and it was just chock-a-block. I mean, just arsons, criminally negligent arsons, rapes, murders.
Oh, yeah.
Sexually assaulting, children at swimming pools?
Yeah, well, I was about to give... Like, there was one that always stuck with me, where, like, some, like, six-year-old boy had gone into the changing rooms, and a migrant followed him into the changing rooms and raped him in the changing rooms. And I'm thinking, man, I would have gone to jail for murder for that. Like, I would have just strung him up.
Hmm. So that's that. And there's the thing. I mean, I don't know anything about Viktor Orban, but the criticisms he has of the Western Europe are very interesting and I think valid. And it's very similar, I think, to when you literally see like Al-Assad criticising the West. Like, of course, he's Al-Assad. But I'm not saying Viktor Orban's like Al-Assad, obviously. But
I mean, Assad's a socialist. So.
The people who aren't members of the West criticising the West, they usually have something interesting to say. And that was definitely one of them, which is Germany done this to itself. And I'm sure they'll reap the benefits. And I'm sure they're enjoying it now. But what was the American leftist response to this evil man being interviewed? So you see the editor of Vox here. So it's a picture of Tucker, picture of Orban. And the Chiron says... Viktor Orban believes in families and borders. And the editor of Vox titled this, Going Full Fash.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fascism is when you have a border and your country's based on families.
Yeah. Yeah. This wasn't the only one either. If we go to the next one, there's a CNN contributor. Shared this article. Tucker Carlson has seen the future and it's fascist. Fascist.
Okay.
Because they have a border and they say, if you come over it, we'll just put you back in Serbia. We're not giving you some detention center to live in for the next 50 years and all the other problems that come with actually trying to get people out of the country, like in the UK, barracks is.
Believe it or not, Mr. Dean, fascism is actually not border security.
I love it. It's just that. As soon as you've got border security, that's fascism.
It's also not pro-family policies, incidentally. Yeah. We actually did quite a lot on fascism on Lucy's.com. You can go and check out our premium content. We did a book club book review on Ziv Sternhell's Neither Left Nor Right, French Fascism. I can't remember exactly the title now, but it's a really, really interesting book. And the point is, fascism is highly ideological and deeply revolutionary. And Viktor Orban, I don't know whether you noticed, seems to be anti-revolutionary. He seems very conservative, which is the opposite of being a fascist, just so you know.
There's also the idea here that the only thing wrong with the Nazis is their border policy. If you're saying that, well, they have a border, therefore they're fascists.
Nazis, big respecters of borders. Chief border respecters were the Nazis. And the Italians, in fact. You know, big border respecters.
Respected borders like the respected women. Anyway, so let's go to the next one here. David Raboy made a post of this. Where he's like, just a reminder, they love Cuba, they love Gaza, they love China, they love South Africa and Zimbabwe, but man, do they hate Hungary. Like, it's weird the amount of hate that they have for Hungary.
I mean, just because they're not commies.
And Viktor Orban said in his interview that he thinks this is because... he says he's able to offer a successful conservative country, mm-hmm. as in conservative morals are kept there and it works. And that's a threat to Western leftists because it means Western conservatives can point and say, that works.
Look, it's not falling apart.
Yeah.
And the leftists are like,
So that's the point there. Also, David Raboy, if we go to the next one here, you'll notice he said that the same people who tell you that Viktor Orban is a fascist spent 5 years telling you that Donald Trump worked for Putin, literally the same people.
And they also said that Trump is a fascist. So.
And if we go to the next one here, it is literally the same person. Jonathan Chiat. So first article, Tucker Carlson has seen the future and it's fascist. Second article, will Trump be meeting with his counterpart or his handler, Putin? Literally the same people.
So insane conspiracy theorists who see fascists under every rock telling us that Viktor Orban's a fascist. And then Viktor Orban's like, we're just going to have a border policy.
That's not radical or a crime or wrong.
No.
It's completely right. And he does look like a Chad on that policy.
Yes.
So just the last thing to mention is Tucker Carlson in his interview also said to Orban that you wonder if Biden... it's going to be kind of upset with you and your example of the border, let's say, and therefore try and do regime change. And again, the Vox editor being very upset that he would suggest.
Tucker Carlson uses a puff piece interview with Viktor Orban to suggest that Joe Biden will interfere in Orban's re-election campaign.
Yes, the United States never interfered with any foreign election.
I was gonna say, if you're history. Aaron, aren't you a leftist? Don't. Oh, God.
It's like Glenn Greenwald is just sat there like, what is happening? What has happened, man?
Yeah. I mean, has that ever happened before, Aaron? Just out of interest.
CIA didn't come out as woke like 2 months ago, did they? Anyway, but yeah, that's Tucker Carlson's Hungarian adventure, and I'm enjoying it. I'm learning some stuff there.
I'm loving the reaction to it. That's fantastic. All the leftists who are like, oh, the CIA did nothing wrong now.
CIA, our best friend.
Anyway. Ladies, don't start an OnlyFans career. Even if you're very beautiful and you make tens of thousands of dollars every month, it won't make you happy. It'll make you rich, but money isn't everything, and it can't buy you love, as this particular OnlyFans model found out. Amanda Summer, who I'm going to call an undateable incel, because she is.
Is it not femcel? You meant to use that?
I actually didn't realize that incel was a gendered term.
I think the feminists made femcel as an insult for it.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, Amanda Summer, an undateable femcel, 27, decided to quit her job as a member of the cabin crew for Ryanair last year in favor of becoming a full-time OnlyFans model and makes £15,000 a month. Everything must be going groovy for her. Everything must be perfect. All of her material needs have been met. How could she possibly be unhappy with her life? She's going brilliantly.
She's reached fully automated luxury communism.
She actually has, yes. She has to do nothing apart from take photos of herself. But despite raking in the cash, she's admitted she isn't happy because her new job has left her struggling to find love. Because it turns out that money isn't everything. Communists, I hope you're listening. Money isn't everything. It's actually, in many ways, better to have not as much as you want and have other things that make you happy, such as a loving family, than to have more than you could ever spend and have no one who loves you. The beauty from Hartlepool says men often dump her when they discover that what she does for a living. Are you shocked?
I wouldn't date her. Would you?
No, I wouldn't. But I just find it amusing. They're like, nope, I'm not having a whore. She is frustrated that guys aren't open-minded enough to accept her for who she is. Her last boyfriend walked away from their relationship after he discovered her new career path, and now other men she tries to date keep doing the same thing. And this is a really great way of showing that women may well control access to sex, but men control access to relationships. And women don't need to worry about being able to find sex, because obviously it's the men that want that from them, but they're the ones who want the long-term relationship from the man, and the man is the one in charge of that. So ladies, this is why you might want to think about that dichotomy. It is not fair, but it is true. She says, it keeps happening. I get with guys just to keep finding out. They also get upset that I lied to them about what I do. But if I'm up front with them, they would want nothing to do with me. Michael's laughing in the corner.
What is this? You lie to them and they don't want you. And when you tell them you're a whore, they don't want you. And you're shocked by this.
Mm.
No one ever told you this might happen.
Mm. I'm very frustrated because I just can't seem to hold down a boyfriend because of all of this. I just think guys should be more open-minded. It's not fair. Yeah,
it's the guy's fault here, isn't it?
Oh, I love that someone who's like in the top 1% of attractiveness and top 1% of earnings are going to start talking about fairness. Oh, tell me about the suffering and the unfair nature of being unbelievably hot and making like millions and whatnot. Like, tell me about that. But I love this. You know, men should be more open-minded. Why?
They have to be.
No, they don't have to be. And I don't even think they should be when it comes to this. I think the men have got exactly the right position. Don't date a prostitute.
Also, it's the old adage of if everyone you try and date doesn't like you, it's not them, it's you.
Yes.
And, love. I don't know how many men you've tried, but it's clearly not them.
Yes. And I'm sure that she could find a man that she would, who would date her, but then that would be a very unattractive man, wouldn't it? It would be a leftist.
Simp.
Yes, a leftist simp. But she says she thinks the men she dates are jealous that when she talks to other guys on the subscription-based app, as well as being envious of the money she makes.
Yeah, no surprise. What do you mean? Yeah. Oh, I think they might be jealous of when I flirt with men on OnlyFans.
And when they give me loads of money, so she must be dwarfing these men's income. Absolutely, like three or four times what they're earning per month, she's earning per month, for being naked and prostituting herself to other men. And it's like, weirdly, he's acting as if I'm not treating our relationship as sacrosanct. It's like, you're not.
When I want a woman, I want the woman to be mine.
Yes, and you also lied to them.
Yeah, there's that as well.
Weird.
It's like either I admit that I'm not going to be theirs, essentially, mm-hmm. let's be serious about this, or that I lie to them. Neither of these work. No one's shocked by that love.
No. Weirdly, men aren't into that. But the beauty has become closed off since starting her OnlyFans career and now suffers from loneliness. She says, since I've done this, I've suffered from loneliness. I've worked hard for 1 year and I haven't had the chance to enjoy the money a bit, apart from the dog that I bought, which is odd. But okay, fine. So stop doing it.
I mean, 15 grand a month. She must have plenty of savings now.
Yeah, exactly. Must have loads. She must have bought a house. She's been doing it for a year. You know, she's doing great, but it's not bringing her happiness. And that's the point. Right. So, ladies, I realize that it's very tempting to look at OnlyFans and go, "Wow, I could do with 15 grand a month," and I'm sure you could.
Well, 50% of it's going to go to the government.
Well, yeah, there is that. 45% of it's going to go to the state, but still, 7.5 grand a month is 8 grand a month is still pretty good. But remember what you're sacrificing when you make this choice. There is a cost to everything, and not all of these costs are financial. She says, when she does find the perfect man for her, she wants someone who's up for an adventure. I'd really like to go with, really like someone who is adventurous and where I won't be stuck inside. Someone who likes to go on holidays and stuff. Well, good luck at the moment. I'm fed up because I'm single for a long time and no one seems to like it and give it a chance. Well, there we go. And so I decided to search around on just comment sections and forums and things like that, Reddit, to see whether people would date an OnlyFans girl or not and see what the authentic public reaction is. And here's just some that I pulled out with. So one person says, to sleep with? Yeah, sure. To date? Hell no. Not a chance in hell. If she's that lazy when it comes to making a dollar, building a life with her will be slow and painful. And if she's that desperate for attention, she will seek attention or more from other men as reassurance. I think OnlyFans is making it easier for us men to identify a mistake before we invest into women. That being said, I never pay a dime to see something I can simply Google if I'm desperate. Pornhub is free after all.
That's a hell of a burn.
That is a savage truth.
God, the idea that, well, OnlyFans is doing us a service by weeding out the whores.
Yes. You may have spotted this girl in a bar and been like, oh, she's a babe. I'll go talk to her. And
obsessed with attention or obsessed with getting cash.
So. Yes. She prostitutes herself for attention and money. Another one said, no, why would I date someone who could have shown her private parts, probably for my friends, families, teachers, etc. Public assets like them bear no value to me whatsoever, but I would have sex with them. Absolutely. I had a buddy who dated a cam girl, and while at first he said he was cool with it, very quickly he realized how odd it was to be constantly walking in on his girlfriend working all the time, just so other dudes could get off to her. Yeah, she made bank, but compared to his other relationships, he couldn't seem to get used to it himself. There is something about the nature of a personal, intimate relationship with a woman that requires exclusivity, and if she's sharing all of this with other men... men tend not to like that.
I distinctly remember, I can't remember if it was Louis Theroux, but one of these documentary type filmmakers did a section on that in which they were doing it about sex, and it was a couple, and the guy helped her film for cam stuff and got her whatever she needed for whatever recommendations. Yeah. And you could see when the documentary starts to break down, they're like, all right, no cameras right now. And they keep recording the audio and the video. You can hear them arguing about it and the guy being like, I'm not happy with this. No, don't do that one. There's constant friction. Yeah. Constantly.
I also went to Quora. I found a bunch of answers, but they're basically the same thing.
Sick burns?
No, nothing. Nothing better than the first one, to be honest. But there was no way. But there was one actually. This one guy said yes, but it would have to be an understanding that I'm not going to fully commit to you as a man. I work hard for my money, and I'm not taking that fact away that you have to sell your body for cash. But I don't think for one second that I have to be faithful to you and commit to you while you sell your nudes for cash and God knows what else you do on the side while I'm at work busting my ass. So basically, it seems that a lot of men view this as a form of paid infidelity, because that is what it is.
It's almost like there's no real trust.
Of course not.
That you can't trust them.
Literally, the most private and intimate thing that should be shared exclusively with you is being sold to anyone with a fiver. Absolutely not. This is disgraceful. But of course, this has led to a great deal of cope. You get articles like this. Why every guy should date an OnlyFans girl. Big cope, basically.
I want to hear the argument.
But the thing is, if they're writing articles like this, you can tell this is a trend that ain't going to happen. But this guy is like king of the simps. Being with an OnlyFans girl is awesome. You literally get to see her naked in person. Take the pics of her naked, pipe her down while she's naked, and then she buys you chicken nuggies with the money someone else gave her.
Is this a troll article?
No. That's the thing, it's not.
He's talking like a guy on 4chan.
Yes, and he's talking like a teenager on 4chan. But also, I mean, this sounds like the sort of thing a pet... Look at that, 100,000 likes. 100,000 likes. But this is basically her treating you like a pet.
Should we tell him? What? Should we tell them the secret? If you get a normal girlfriend, you also get to see her naked.
I know that. Right? Unironically, I was going to go through that because he's literally like, "Oh my god, you get to see her naked." It's like, I get to see my wife naked.
Like, what do you think happens when you get a normal wife? She's just clothed 100% of the time. Just
what do, I don't know.
You have sex through a wall.
I guess he's never had sex with a woman before or something. But he says this. I can't stress this enough. Literally getting to see your own girlfriend naked in person, as opposed to virtually or not at all, is one of the unique perks of dating a woman with an active OnlyFans account. What? Like, what kind of relationships has he been in where he never gets to see his girlfriend naked and never? I mean, like at one point he even says that he's like, yeah, you can have sex with her naked. It's like, who isn't naked when they have sex? I'm not even joking. He says,
"Is he a furry or something?"
No, listen. I've always said there's nothing better than piping down your. I hate this language.
What is that?
Having sex, piping down your girlfriend while she's fully naked, as opposed to piping her down while she dons a scarlet pantsuit with a slit in his crotch and cosplays as Hillary Clinton. What are you talking about?
Why would you want to have sex with Hillary Clinton?
I have no idea. But the
what on earth?
To be fair, Hillary was a not bad looking woman when she was young. Have you not seen the pictures of her in the 20s and 30s?
I've never lived through it, have I? Sorry.
Well, no, I hadn't either. She's like 80 or something.
I just think of the ancient woman that ran in 2016 and now won't
just
die.
Just look up a picture of Hillary Clinton when she's in her 30s or something. She's not a bad-looking woman.
Right.
But she's obviously evil.
But also this Zoomer's never seen her young.
Well, yeah. But yeah, it's such a bizarre argument is, you get to see her naked. It's like, yeah, you get to have sex with her when she's naked.
You know, you get to kiss the hands of OnlyFans.
I know, it's amazing. And she'll give you chicken nuggies because you're a child. See, there we go. Look, Hillary Clinton, when she was a younger woman, was not a bad-looking woman.
If I was going to pick someone to cosplay as a woman for, you know, romantic sex, I would not pick Hillary Clinton.
Can we get for that one
in
the top left a sec, Michael?
But even then,
it's not a bad looking woman at all.
I'm making the point of just like, well, this is very Sumer, where it's like, sorry, Boomer, where it's like this old reference of a woman who looked good once upon a time. Like these people surely aren't going to be remembering this. So why would they not come up with someone more modern?
I have no idea. But anyway, moving on, right? Women do not want to date OnlyFans models either. Now, this was a wonderful article I found. If we can go to the next one, about a woman who met a dude online who was an online exhibitionist, and she was attracted to the confidence of his exhibitionism.
What's an exhibitionist?
Someone who likes to show the body off online.
So, like a gym bro who's just like loves showing their
muscles. More of a sexual fetish,
right? Okay.
So they, like, you know, they show their bum or, you know, various other bits of themselves. Right. Yeah. But she says my support of this guy's antics wavered when he unexpectedly. So she admires his exhibitionism. She finds that attractive. They start dating, and then he's like, "Hey, I'm going to make an OnlyFans." And then she says, those six words hatched an uncomfortable egg in my throat, which I subsequently swallowed with a small smile as I swore I didn't mind. After all, he would be making money, and sis, he was broke as F. And I was like, very interesting. Very, very interesting. She doesn't mind a bit of this sort of, you know, exhibitionism, because that's, you know, a bit, you know, racy and stuff like that. Because he was only, like, showing, like, side pics of his bum or something. So there's nothing too, you know, major. And she was into that. But he's like, right, I'm going to start making money on OnlyFans. And she's like, no, you can't do that. You're my boyfriend. This is exclusive.
You're my man.
Yeah.
In the same way, my woman.
Exactly. It's all about exclusivity. But she's very progressive, and so she had to power through this. No, I'm joking. Listen to this, right? Unsought criticism has naturally tailed the money-making trend. And of course, that peanut gallery consists of a myriad of misogynists, mostly men who typify garbage and find entertainment value in those aggravating Twitter threads reading, "Fellas, would you let your girl out of the house like this?" in a reference to a photo of a woman in a bodycon dress. For them, the argument against dating a woman who capitalizes off the male gaze is one rooted in coverture, hypocrisy, as many women have noted the same men who hate sex workers actually moonlight as the customers themselves, and the easily squashed theory of selling one's body. The loudness of these would-you discussions attest to the classic misogynist yes-man truism. Men love essing on autonomous women very loudly and in the presence of the dumb and agreeable. But all of this is to say that people of all genders should be able to do whatever the hell they want with their bodies without unsolicited censure. Unless it's your boyfriend. And then it's a no. It's a hard no. So Cameron is the name of the guy, but it's a false name, obviously. Cameron was going through it and snapping his goodies for gay men, the demographic most subscribed to his content, and it was an efficient way to pay for a utility bill or a few weeks of groceries. Sure, I felt uneasy about the situation, but I wasn't going to let my aspirational idea of monogamy and its correlating expectations impede on his livelihood. Why not? You're the one, you're dating him. He's like, look, I'm going to become a prostitute for gay men. You could have said no.
I mean, at least there's no chance of him cheating, presumably.
Well, yeah. I mean, he wasn't gay. So, you know, you legitimately could have turned around and said, look, I'm really not happy about that. And I think we're going to split up if you do that. But you've got a genuine right to do that. And she says, sure. I'm sorry. He had bus fares, cold brews, and Dr. Bonner's Castile soap to buy. And just as women's bodies are not up for discussion, what he did was his, in theory, not refutable. In theory. I love that she has to include that in there.
Leftist theory does not
exactly. Leftist theory is like, well, anyone who, you know, women's bodies are not up for discussion. Yeah, they are. It's so immense. And especially if you're dating someone who's doing this, you're totally free to have an opinion on this, and you should. She says, but being open-minded about sex work in the context of monogamous dating is easier said than done, especially if someone like me, who is totally supportive of the decriminalization and destigmatization of sex work, unless it's your boyfriend.
And, which case I'll stigmatise that to no end.
And don't get me wrong, I support you 100%, right? Outweighing whatever radicalism I had adopted in college was my stock in a core monogamous belief. One's romantic partner is the only individual who should see them in a sexually intimate context. Completely agree.
Exclusivity. And the whole point of you being their woman.
Exactly.
And them being your man.
Exactly, but it's a very, very sort of traditionalist, reactionary position that is beating in the heart of people all over the world. Most people are indeed this way. She says, And even if I never expressed it outwardly, Cameron's rightful distribution of dick and balls for $10 a month obviously violated that unspoken one-sided arrangement. Yes, it's true no matter how theoretical you want to be about this. The human heart is an envious thing and wants its own exclusive relationships. We stopped dating shortly after the OnlyFans hustle ran its course, which is about a month long. Truthfully, he was a cis-hetero white man who opted to sell his nudes out of convenience. But this resolution alone was insulting to the numerous women and non-binary folks who pursue sex work as a serious means of survival in a society that has left them policed, marginalized, and oppressed.
The hell has this got to do with
that? I don't know. It's woke rhetoric just starts spilling out to cope with the fact that she's jealous that other people are looking at her naked
boyfriend. Really are NPCs, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's also dismissive of committed sex workers who exert just as much, if not more, emotional and physical labor. Cameron was sitting at the top of the patriarchy, not only on OnlyFans for empowerment, survival, or professional growth, nor was he scraping pennies in an abysmal job economy. Well, I mean, you did say he was broke AF, so...
Hang on, is she going to try and argue that, you know, prostitution's okay if you're at the bottom of the progressive stack?
Yes. If you're a woman, then it's okay to be a hooker. If you're a man, it's wrong. He was merely a broke, grown, lazy, grown-ass white guy looking for a reason not to put more than 20 hours a week at his barista gig. Based.
I do love the idea that we have OnlyFans, but only for Muslim women.
Yeah. Black Muslim women. Black Muslim women single mothers. Trans single mothers. There's a very, very fine line of people who are
OnlyFans
allowed
to... OnlyFans is going to be ruined by this decision.
Yes. My traditionist self was secretly relieved. That was until he cited sexual harassment as the ultimate deterrent. He explained that his subscribers had started sending him unsolicited, lewd DMs outside of the platform. And then she concludes with, I don't think I'll be dating another guy involved in sex-adjacent work, even if monogamy and its traditions are super dated and inarguably worthy of feminist critique. I'm far too invested in and satisfied with being a hopeless romantic to change my own preferences anytime soon. So she rejects feminism. She wants, theoretically, to say, oh yeah, of course feminism's right, of course it's all right. But when it comes down to it, when it, you know, it comes down to reality, what's really happening, she's like, no, I'm a deep traditionalist and a hopeless romantic. I'm not having any of your feminist crap. You know, not my boyfriend, right? Again, I love the not in my backyard attitude of it as well. Yeah. Theoretically, yeah, it's fine for people to do that, but not for me. However, I also...
Well, not for the mine.
Yeah.
Property there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I own him. She owns... Yeah. You know, he owns her.
Yeah. It's not really about ownership in the way... it is, but, like, it's about the relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
But it's the exclusivity in the language. Like,
Yeah.
I was going to mention, when I was learning Russian, there's translating some of the words, and the example they gave was «Moya zhenshina», which was translated as «my wife», mm-hmm. and then the same for «my husband». Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is «zhenshina» just means «women». So it's literally «my woman». That's «my wife».
Based. I like the way you're pretending that you had to learn Russian too.
Oh, shut up.
However, I also mind my old-fashioned business and staunchly believe that people should live their best lives in a way that works for them. Yeah, but it's not for you, is it? Although we're all entitled to our quiet opinions and emotions knotted to them, we're not entitled to the gratuitous judgment of others. You're going to get that anyway, to be honest. So as your partner's body isn't your possession to police... kind of is. Shaming or dismissing them for simply pursuing sex work is wholly unacceptable. Your discomfort isn't their problem, and in the long run, that person is likely better off without you and your antagonism. You legitimately do not believe that. You do not believe that. It's theoretically, yeah, theoretically, you shouldn't be there, but on a human level, you're like, no, mine. And so, men and women don't like OnlyFans. Don't do it. It's not good for you. It will not bring you happiness and satisfaction. It will bring you boundless wealth, but that won't help.
I do like that it actually is the fully automated luxury space communism meme.
Yeah.
And every time it's played out.
Yep. And just both men and women look at it and go, no.
Is Belle Delphine married? Got a boyfriend?
No idea.
Love to interview him.
How many nuggies does she buy here?
I can't believe he used that phrase.
I know.
It's so demeaning.
It's so childish. And like, imagine, like, I don't think that men, young men, right, don't ever become financially dependent on a woman. It might look like a good option at the first, but it's deeply enervating for yourself as a man. Do not earn your own money, goddammit. Anyway, let's
go with the video comments. Sorry.
No, length 7.9 burgers, weight 18.6 burgers. Capacity, 8 dead enemies of freedom per clip. America rating, 11 out of 10 burgers. Super effective against Nazis, Imperial Japanese, Italian fascists, Norks, Chai-Coms.
Do you get the Norks one?
No.
It's
North Koreans, is it?
Yeah, but it was a slur. So I can't remember the game. I think it was Homefront. It was essentially every one of these is China invades America, but you can't do that anymore because you want to sell it in China. So you make it the North Koreans.
I can't believe the Chinese aren't up for that.
Apparently not. So instead, you always make it the North Koreans invading America, and this totally possible, we swear.
Oh, there was a film about that, wasn't it? The North Koreans take the White House. It's like, yeah, right.
But it used to be China or whatever, and then the modern version is always North Korea to sell the movie in China. Yeah. And they had to come up with like a slur because you do in every war. It's how you dehumanize the enemy, and it's a useful thing. There's a whole other conversation about that. But they used Norks because the Americans don't speak British, because Norks in English in Britain means jugs, boobs. And so you had to listen to them constantly being like, yeah, there's loads of Norks around here. Bunch of Norks. God, big Norks.
Felt like I'm on OnlyFans. That's excellent.
So another unique thing about being American is that we, at points in time, we tend to be the world depository for old, outdated firearms. For here, we have an example of a Walther PPK that was provided to the West German police. This happens to be unissued. Anyway, here over here, we have a East German Makarov, and this definitely was issued to the East German police. And as you can see here, here they are.
Very cool.
Neat, yeah. Making me very jealous.
Mm.
So how would you solve North Korea? They only have a few nukes, so I doubt they would use them. But then again, would it be such a loss to lose San Francisco or Chicago, maybe Seattle? Their equipment is from the 1950s mostly, probably only fought in one war. Maybe possibly place free resources for peasants as well, as humorously act out legit seeming dear leader propaganda for them. I think we should cultivate defectors as they arrive. Fire and furries.
It would just be the funniest thing in the world if Kim Jong-un is come out and going, right, I'm going to nuke America, how dare you? And then, you know, Donald Trump just tweets out a picture of LA or something.
That would be amazing. Like, we can get him back in, we'll just release a picture, like, buddy.
Yeah. Got some suggestions. How about Portland? You
know? San Francisco, go for it. Just leave Hawaii alone, they're all right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
This is a curiosity question. And I don't want you to go victim mentality on it, but in all seriousness, how do the laws around your business actually impede you on doing the things that you want? And how would things look differently if the laws were more reasonable? I'm not sure how to frame that better, but I think you understand what I'm getting at.
Well, we're constantly constrained by the language we're allowed to use, the things we're allowed to say. But to be honest with you, I'm fairly confident and comfortable actually getting the point across that I want to get across. Most of it is really tax, to be honest. You know, I'd really like to pay less tax.
But, yeah. They haven't yet come after people who make shows for engaging in speech that is grossly offensive online. The police love to. And I don't know what's holding them back other than PR.
They tend to go for individuals.
Yeah, they tend to try and go for people they think are powerless and they can get a nice little conviction out of it and justice.
Yeah.
Count Dankula being a great example of that.
But, I mean, there are, you know, we can't really make a lot of jokes that we would make because you can't make jokes on the internet anymore.
Largely, this is due to Silicon Valley rather than Westminster. But Westminster is awful.
Yeah. And it does. One of the things that's difficult to do is give a good ethical critique of certain kinds of communities. Hmm. Like, you know, it's not really allowed to critique a community that fosters grooming gangs, for example, and say, well, look, ethically, there seem to be some major failings there, but what can you say? What can you do? You know, so
the law says no.
Yeah, exactly. You quite well could be pulled up on a hate crime if you were to give an ethical critique of said certain communities, and so you just have to keep your mouth shut.
Let's go to the next one.
Going back to the Chad working out theme that's been going on lately, I would like to say the following. I apparently have lost fitness from lockdown and I can no longer bicep curl 40 kilograms on one hand, which is a shame. However, while at the gym lately, I saw some soy pussy idiot having a protein shake. made with water. We all declare a truce with each other and declare a fatwa against anyone who does this heresy.
I've never had a protein shake.
No, me neither.
So I don't know what they're for. I just eat meat.
I've never been interested in them. They look disgusting.
Yeah.
I was just like, why would I want to drink that?
I'd rather eat a steak.
Yeah, and drink some water. Like, yeah. Where would you want to...
But I'm sure that there are going to be loads of people in the comments going, oh my God, I can't believe someone was drinking a protein shake with water. This is time for a fatwa, you know, and rightfully so, doubtless. But I'm afraid I just don't know anything about the thing.
Same. Get the next one.
So I will take your advice and actually upload videos like this to YouTube. My one concern is 90% of what I build is just this one thing, floating shelves, where the brackets are on the inside. And the other concern is that it's very, you know, obvious to be able to tell where I work and giving political opinions and how leftists are.
Is it?
It almost seems like a setup to get fired. So ultimately, I'm going to go for it, but I really hope it doesn't backfire in my face.
I have no idea where you work from that. I don't know how anyone would.
Yeah.
You could just put, like, you're doing this at home. I don't know.
I'm sure no rando on the internet is going to be able to find it. But the thing is, even if you do, if you end up building up like a relatively sizable audience who you make, you know, watching you make things, if you get fired, I mean, you could still make things and just give them to your audience, sell them to your audience.
There's a nice story of a guy who
started
making social media posts about his paint company. Mm-hmm. And they would like mix the paints and he'd make videos about it. And the boss didn't want him doing that. So he started just making them and put it on his own channels with his name. And then they got a big following. And the boss found out and fired him for embarrassing the company or something. So then he just brought loads of paint and just did it himself. And now that's all he does. And that's his channel.
That's basically what I was thinking. You know, is if you get, you know, it's like 50,000 subscribers of you just like, you know, making stuff. Because I tell you, I was loving watching that video of you making those things. I don't know what it is about the sped up making videos, but I love watching these things being built. And it's weird because on my Facebook feed, Facebook knows it as well. So like, I'll be scrolling through things and then I'll just stop for a minute or so watching someone build something. Right, carrying.
People are suggesting different things to make in the chat and someone's like, are they cages for kids?
But that's the point. You can make anything, couldn't you? I wish I did woodwork. God damn it. Anyway.
Hey people, thought today I was going to be showing off the Mark III Lee Enfield. You can tell it's legitimate because it's got the stamp of the crown. Actually also tells you when it was made, 1917. So this gun has probably seen action in both world wars at this point. So I thought this would be pretty cool to share with you guys.
That's very cool.
That's a relic. That's awesome. Keep it safe, you know?
Mm.
So I'm not going to recommend an anime, but I will, however, recommend a book by Mr. C.S. Cooper. It is the second in the Axom saga. I think it's really good so far. I can't wait to finish it and start on the next one.
Hmm. Oh, I'm glad Mr. Cooper's doing so well.
Yeah.
Support your local content creator. If you're in the mood for non-woke literature, The Crop Duster's Son is in a historical fiction set in Europe during the Second World War. And Per Aspera ad Astra, some nice current year sci-fi, non-woke. All available on Amazon.com. Have a nice day.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the fact that we're able to help people who are producing cultural items get known and get sales. That's good.
Okay, one. Callum, you're technically wrong on that Amon-Garand ping thing. That's basically just a myth. And outside of a controlled situation, you wouldn't actually be able to hear it. Two, there's no perfect weapon overall for everything. Everything has a situation. I love my Walther, and I love my AR, but my favorite rifle is that AK right there. And I have the seal of approval from Marcus for being the ugliest AK he has ever seen.
It is a pretty ugly AK.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the, like, spindly stocks. I know they're less weight.
They look gross.
But... Yeah. The wooden ones always look
classic.
Aesthetic. Yeah. Although the M1 Garand Ping, like we've heard it multiple times now from videos people have sent in, so I don't know what causes it, but whatever.
But I mean, he's right about there being no one perfect weapon because each weapon is designed for different circumstances, different task. So, and that's always been the case.
It's just which looks pretty.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola is getting political, attacking Georgia's popular voting law. Why? To distract from years of dismal sales, terrible 2020 results, reports suspecting they benefited from forced labor in China. Coca-Cola products are poisoning America's youth and worsening the obesity epidemic. So the company tried funding phony science to minimize the harms, but they got busted. James Quincy, Coca-Cola, stop poisoning our children. Serve your customers, not woke politicians.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Is that like Republicans funding that? It's just like, right, okay, you want to go woke? We'll broke you.
Well, I mean, not only is that amazing, it's also true. I like the it's poisoning our children. Yeah, sugar is, like, there is an unbelievable amount of sugar in every can of Coca-Cola. Just don't.
Mm. But you can see the message at the end, not woke politicians. Mm. You know, the scandal being Coke saying, be less white.
Yes.
And diversity training and handing over tens of thousands of dollars to Rob DiAngelo to spread white nationalism.
Yeah,
let's go for
that. Weird, isn't it?
So I've been wondering something. Yeah, is it possible for a company to make a condition during their hiring practices that in their contract says that should they do any like wokery stuff or anything virtue signally that is completely pointless, would it be legally possible to have them fired? Just for doing stuff like that. So anytime you have anyone doing virtue signaling, off with them.
Depends on the country, although maybe depending on how you do it. So you could include in the contract that you can't embarrass the government, express political views tied to the, embarrass the company, tied to the company, political views online, and therefore, but what you're risking is the Equality Act, of course, protects belief, philosophical belief. And the rightists have been now using this to defend themselves, the people who believe women are women.
Yeah.
And I can see leftists in the future using it as well.
When you say rightists, you mean TERFs.
Yeah, I'm a very broad church.
Rightist.
Yeah.
But no, the Brexit chap that we covered today.
Yeah, he's also not a rightist, really.
That's a great point, actually.
But there's the thing, the rightist camp includes a large section of the left in modern Britain, which...
Yeah, in Britain, no, you can't do that. Philosophical beliefs are actually protected. Well,
it's not proven yes or no. So,
but it looks like it's leaning.
They could take it to court, tribunal. And,
but there are examples of people who have been fired because of their beliefs who have had winning cases.
Yeah, but I'm not an employment lawyer, I'm just my...
And like in America, probably not. They can probably just fire you for any reason.
Probably the case,
And so I don't know. Don't know about Norway either.
Okay, guys, serious question today. I do a bit of acting on the side. I'm trying to get experience so that I can eventually make my own movies. It's something I've always wanted to do. And I've done quite a few acting jobs this year, and I've had a lot of good experiences with them, but I just got onto the cast of a series. I didn't know what it was about, and then I joined their Discord. This is what I saw.
Untitled LGBTQIA series.
Should I be involved in this project?
Only as a subversive.
Start adding more letters.
Yeah.
Say they're not inclusive enough.
Yeah. Start trying to destroy it from within. Choose a strange pronoun and make them all say it. Really, really strange pronoun that no one remembers, and then feign offense when they forget your pronoun.
Yeah, just pick a foreign language and just take whatever word is for he, and then just say that's the pronoun.
Yeah. Do something, whatever it is, just anyway.
There is a zero-sum presupposition that is at the root of a lot of Marxist drive theory. You see this in Marxist economics, anti-human environmentalism, and the desire of CRT adherents to view racial relations as perpetually stuck in the 19th century. The zero-sum presupposition essentially requires that the nature of the topic in question stop changing and progressing. This leads to a desire to hold things in a particular place that almost seems conservative, not politically, but conceptually. Your thoughts? Am I missing something or incorrect?
No, you're absolutely right. This has been something I've noticed with the critical race theory Bible that I've been reading. Many of the arguments they're making are very, very conservative for, say, Native American groups or in the black community or something like this. They're very much sort of, we need to protect them from the modern world sort of attitude, which is incidentally kind of reflected in Roger Scruton. And so there's this bizarre crossover of a sort of Scrutonian conservatism that's embedded within critical race theory. And the environmentalist movement entirely is very conservative. So, oh no, the environment must be exactly as it is now and it must never change. It's not going to happen. That's the most conservative position you can have. It shouldn't change. Well, bad luck. That's the one constant in all of the universe, that everything changes. So you are absolutely not wrong to say that they actually have very conservative presuppositions that underpin a lot of what they do.
This is cringe.
Hello, Lotus Eaters. I was going to introduce myself and the most important thing about me, but I hear you already have too many anime recommendations as it is. So I'm going to share something with you that's equally important. My waifu. Oh, everyone should have one of those.
Oh, actual wife.
This is my lovely waifu of 5 years.
All right, you got us. You got us.
And she's mine.
I was really expecting a body pillow.
I was too. You got us. You absolutely got us. Well done. Well done. That was very good. Right, Student of History says, saw the exercise bros and the video chat confirmed Jim Stradamus to be praised. So I'm going to have to reload my page because for some reason this...
Do you want me to read some?
Yeah, go on.
Alpha of the Beaters. Jim Bro is Canadian and the rarest of Canadians. Sorry. And the rarest of Canadians, sorry. Canadians love being told what to do. The new victim hierarchy is seeing who can sacrifice their inalienable rights fastest. I don't know what it is with Canadians. Like,
it's just the same as leftists over here.
But I kind of get it with the Aussies, because, you know, it used to be a penal colony. they went to freedom and they're like, back to penal colony. But with the Canadians, they've always been seen as, like, kind of just a weird version of the British. Mm. And, well, I suppose we gave up our rights fast.
Yeah, we couldn't do it fast enough, so, yeah. Anyway, Brian says, well, today is when I check my university's website to see if I have problems to overcome between now and the start of fall semester. I sure hope they have not decided to go with the morally challenged, aka moral practices regarding COVID, and have dropped the whole damn thing. Hopefully my antics in spring semester woke up and strengthened more conservative professors and administrators. Well, good luck, but I'm not particularly optimistic. Finnish Special Forces says, Finnish Parliament... you must be sweating.
What? Shut off.
Never miss an opportunity. Finnish Parliament and ministers came back from the summer holidays and now going full steam ahead with the vaccine passport. Our impressionable young female Prime Minister even did a full 180 on her stance on it, previously being against it. There are pictures of her posing with Uncle Klaus in Davos, so not a big surprise there. Well, there we go. Autumn and winter will be interesting time for us not wanting the jab. Might start looking to ways of self-employment. Yeah, I guess that's basically the only option, really. Because they're going to... Jim Stradamus was right. He was absolutely right about what they're going to do to us. So, long talks on the
Nietzsche. Kind of scared to find out what he's up to now, because he's probably predicted something way worse, and it's just like, stop, bro.
Yeah, stop predicting, please. Long talks on the Nietzsche says, as Jim Bro, I can confirm that gyms are probably the most concentrated areas of based and red-pilled individuals. It's like the Agora in ancient Greece, but also with bench press. What makes you think the Agora didn't have a bench press? Like, the ancient Greeks loved working out. Like, everyone was at the gymnasium.
I thought it was only the Spartans that were obsessed with looking good.
Everyone was.
Huh. I thought the Athenians were too busy being a bunch of boy lovers.
No. Huh. I mean, they were, but so was everyone else then. But no, everyone
Spartans
was,
weren't, were they?
The Spartans had institutional homosexual paedophilia. Yes. This is why, like, everyone's like, oh, I'd love to go back in time. It's like, well, I mean, maybe you wouldn't.
Take a shotgun, maybe.
Yeah. No, but yeah, so no, I wouldn't recommend going there. But no, the Greeks were very... just generally obsessed with aesthetics, and that meant, you know, competition, working out, things like that. Right. Michelle says, Jim Bro is in Ontario. There are ridiculous levels of lockdown still occurring. He is 100% accurate in Canada. In Alberta, our health authority has removed all restrictions, and our federal government has been on every news station disparaging the decision. Just to be clear, as possible, a woman who is a graphic designer is questioning why a team of doctors chose to treat COVID like the flu, which is never going away. Alberta is the Florida and Texas of Canada. So Alberta sounds based. Ignacio says, in the beginning, when COVID appears to have been a bit more dangerous than it was all conformity and it's a nothing burger, and now it's proven not to be the apocalypse, every politician and activist screams it's the end of the world, and thus we must give up our freedoms for the greater good. I wonder where I've heard that before. James says, the war on COVID was not meant to be won, it's meant to be eternal. Apparently so. Anthony says, it's nice how Western governments grandstand over some awful authoritarian states in how they abuse their citizens, but in reality, they're no better. They're worse at how they lie to you about being so free. Yep. Adria says, I'm angry. Everyone I know has changed and not for the better. Everyone says, I don't want to talk about COVID. Yet they still comply with every single rule. It's maddening. My brother is not the same anymore. I can't even hug him without showing some concern. My mother tells me not to embarrass her on the holiday or the family when we go on holiday because I've refused to wear a mask before. I'm absolutely livid at the moment. And by the time this is done, I will have popped a blood vessel from how unreasonably, incredibly, and incomprehensibly mad I am. I honestly, Well, genuinely sympathetic, you know?
It just makes me feel grateful for the fact that my family's not insane. Because we do know our families in the UK, though.
Well, I went to London earlier this week, and man, there were a lot of people in the middle of the day who were wearing their masks just in the station on the train. I'm like, what? I didn't say anything.
Well, isn't TfL? I thought they were still mandating it.
No, on the line, on the train into London, not in London.
Oh, right.
Like, so it's just like, you know, why are you all doing this? You don't have to. And I guess it just goes to show that propaganda is very effective.
I had that there as well when I got on an Exeter, and then just the people in Exeter on the train were all like staring at me with evils. I'm just like, what's wrong with
hey
students, man? Like, there's something wrong.
How's it going, guys? Free Will says, the billionaire class. The real question was the pandemic situation engineered so all this could happen? Boris wouldn't give us straight answers about this. When you get to his level of power, it's like the Stepford Wives. You change and join the club. Yep. David Chipton. So 3,000 deaths overall from the scary flu. I knew it. Well, 3,600-ish over with no prior conditions. So Matthew says, Orban has much to fear from Biden, the US security state. Does anyone remember the Obama administration interfering with Netanyahu's election?
No, I don't. I never heard of that. I'm going to Google that.
Yeah. George says, I honestly would accept an absolute totalitarian regime with Tucker as the supreme leader. Just imagine the huge Tucker faces, posters hanging from buildings. He won't eliminate his dissidents, but rather mock them for 15 or so minutes. Pretty much what he's doing now. Utopia. the Tucker Carlson regime does sound pretty cool, though. Yeah.
I'm still developing liberal authoritarianism, and that's got to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Just like, we don't get rid of dissidents, we just mock them for 15 minutes and let them go on their merry way.
But I love the idea of the giant disapproving Tucker faces lining the streets.
Well, you know the one where he looks all confused, like, what?
Yeah.
They just have that in any degenerate area, so it looks at you.
Yeah.
Like, you're about to go in the strip club, and you just open the door, and there's just that looking at you. Yeah, I'll go home.
Northamptonian Knight says, if anyone complains about building walls, just point to China. Pretty sure they've got a fairly famous one. Yeah, again, walls work. Walls worked for centuries for Constantinople until the state couldn't maintain them and the odds became too great. Makes me sad that I don't have a castle. Costello Fortior Concordia. When peace is an option, build a wall. Duffy says, the US State Department keeps coming off as a threat to the stability of not only the West, but everywhere. From the Arab Spring to the propping up of bad trade deals with China and the international treaties, such as the Paris Treaty, etc. Everything seems to reek of international socialism the old Soviet Union was pushing. McCarthy was right. Not wrong. Tom says, I wish nation states had better morals to look up to than the kleptocracy of Hungary. Yeah, but I mean, we're a kleptocracy too, so. Like, like our government does exactly the same. The one thing that the left and the Labour Party have on the Conservatives is they keep giving stacks of cash to friends of theirs. This is all true.
Keeps happening.
Yeah. No one cares. It's just business as usual.
Left-wing parties in Europe are doing the same thing with their friends.
I mean, like, look in Brazil. Was it Lula, the wonderful socialist glory of the South American left, and he spent 5 years in jail for corruption.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty sad, sir.
Yeah, Bolsonaro's famous, you know, they accuse me of everything except for corruption. It's like, yeah, great point, you know. Yeah. How's Bolsonaro doing? I haven't been following him.
No, I haven't been either.
I hope he's doing good.
I'm sure he's riding a dinosaur somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Omar says, is there any difference between communism and globalism in the end result? Feels very Brave New World, how much they detest the family and everything must be owned, shared with everyone. I suppose merely in sort of absolute terms, like generally it's pushing in the same direction. The question is, how far do they get? Alpha the Beta says, Orban is correct to be wary of the globalist worldview. Canada is the first post-Christian, post-national, officially multicultural society. We're at 50 church fires and counting. Statues of our first PM and Queen Victoria are being torn down. Billions in payouts to Indigenous activists to not block railroads. A father in prison for not consenting to his son's gender identity. John Peterson was right.
I wonder how he feels about all this. Like, he warned about all of it and it's still going on. Like, I'm surprised he's not essentially like a leading figure of the Conservative Party in Canada or something, leading against Justin Trudeau.
Makes you wonder why he's not, doesn't it?
Like, I'm sure he's not thrilled about the idea if it was proposed to him because of the stress, but I don't know who else you'd pick.
Student of History says, I'm going to be honest, there might be a Hungarian to English miscommunication, but Viktor Orban sounds quite reasonable on the subject of immigration and national sovereignty. Yeah, he did sound very reasonable, didn't he?
When he spoke English, it was reasonable as well.
Yeah, just like, look, this is a good idea.
True. I don't know what to criticize. That's fascism.
Yeah, going full fascist. Ah, yes, national sovereignty. Typical fascism. Germans, again, great respecters of national sovereignty. Problem Child says, I want the Great Wall of America and got the mediocre wall of Democrat interference. Yes, you did. Zach says, have there been protests in international sport where Hungary was involved regarding LGBT rights? From what I understand, exposing under 18s to homosexual content is prohibited, as well as same-sex marriages. Personally, I feel like exposing minors to sexuality is a bad thing, so based Hungarians, I'm not sure if I've missed some information regarding the law. Yeah, I mean, if we're missing something, let us know, because we're not Hungarian, we don't speak Hungarian.
What's the thing? I spent the morning, because I know that there's a lot of criticism of Hungary. I'm like, look, usually no smoke without a fire.
Yep.
And I spent my time looking through it, and I'm just like, none of this is massive extreme. Like, I was expecting him to just be, like, rigging the elections, like some Eastern countries, or being like Belarus or something.
Mm.
And it's just, it's not. It's,
well, in Chechnya, they put gays into concentration camps and no one in the West cared.
Belarus, they just hold an election. It's like, right, I got 8% of the vote. Can we check the votes? No, they've all been burnt.
71% of people voted for me.
Voted Lukashenko. Yeah. it's just not that. I mean, all the bad accusations just sound like stuff that you could say the Democrats or we've taken place in. It's like, well, if that's it, are we an autocracy then? Should we be overthrowing the government?
By their standards. Yeah. Only Just B says, don't know why models on OnlyFans are complaining. No reasonable guy would want to engage with that kind of girl long-term unless they're a simp. Ladies, don't expect commitment or love where aspects of it require a subscription fee or a donation. Good point. Northamptonian Knight
says, my relationship.
Yeah, but that's what it is. Northamptonian Knight says, models generally are overly narcissistic and the OnlyFans variants are among the worst. And Dave says, it's amazing how these OnlyFans thoughts don't just pick a boyfriend from among hundreds of their paying admirers. Could it be that she can't stand simps? Well, that's the point. No. That's the point I've been trying to make the whole time. Like, if you're a simp, if you're in the audience for the model, you're out of the category. She will never, ever date you.
But it's a big dunk on her as well, as being like, why are none of them good enough?
Well, exactly.
It's almost like the entire engagement you're engaged in is not producing anything good.
No. And as Northamptonian Knight has put it in the final comment, thou shalt not simp.
Mm. And we'll end on that bombshell. Anyway, if you enjoyed the show, we have more content on lotuseaters.com. Go and check out that. We also have the contemplations and epochs usually to go up on the weekend, so check those out and other stuff. And if you want to subscribe to get access to the premium content, please do, because it's how we keep the show running.
Yep.
But otherwise, we'll be back on Monday, 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.